Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We're glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you've come. Thank you for coming and being a part of our worship today. We hope you get blessed in a special way because of the presence of Jesus Christ today. All right, well, let's pray together. Thank you so much for being who you are and letting God work in your life and in our church like He is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for events such as the Ladies Transformational Evening and for the life strategy of making disciples that make disciples and being able to bring real encounter here to Mountain Grove. Father, I thank you and praise you for what you are doing on behalf of this church. And thank you that we are becoming a people of faith. Thank you that we have lifted our eyes off of ourselves. We're looking onto fields that are white unto harvest. And so I pray that you would just do a tremendous work in and for and on behalf of this church, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. As we see lives changed, as we see disciples following closer to you and actually making disciples in their own lives as well. And I thank you, Father, for the pastor that you prepared for us. I pray, Father, that the man of God would be revealed to us soon and that this man will come, and he is a strong, strong preacher of the word, a tender-hearted pastor, a man that loves your church, a man that loves your word, and a man that is deeply and passionately in love with Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing on our behalf. I pray that today that Jesus Christ would be exalted and lifted up. And I pray, Father, that you would minister to us through your word. And as we worship you in prayers and in song and psalms and spiritual songs, that we would bless and edify one another and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name and for His sake that we pray. Amen.
One thing that I want to say, that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord.
to be thankful for this morning? Somebody yell something out. What are you thankful for? What? Everything. Besides everything, what do you have to be thankful for? The sun is shining. That's a good thing today. Aren't you thankful for salvation? You don't have to worry about what's going on. We've got heaven to look forward to. Let's sing a new song. We learned it last week called Unstoppable God. We were talking just for a minute this morning about the election coming up, and you know something? God has a plan. We don't know what it is yet, but God has a plan. God has a plan for this church, for the future. And guess what? God's will is unstoppable. We can have faith because we know what Christ did for us on the cross, for what God has a future for us. Let's sing together this morning, the same power that Jesus had, He's given to us. Let's sing it together. There is power
in His name, for the stone was rolled away. Mountains
I love to proclaim, we shall live forever.
Redeemer. And let's sing just the first and the fourth verse, if we could. I will sing of my Redeemer.
I will sing of my Redeemer.
Nancy, thank you all so much, and praise band, praise team, appreciate all of that. Well, turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this is part two. We started this message last Sunday morning, and talking about faith and the future. Faith and the future for us individually and for our families and for our church. Faith and the future. And so take your listening sheet. We looked at the first two points last week, and we had faith defined. Faith defined, and I mentioned to you last week that faith is the beginning, the middle, and the end of Christianity. And then we saw that from this passage that faith is substance and faith is evidence. Faith is substance and faith is evidence. It is the substance of things hoped for. I illustrated that for you with just a simple chair illustration. I was hoping it would hold me up, but in order for that to happen, I needed some substance. And that's what faith is. Faith is substance. So do you need some substance in your life? And then we pointed out that faith is evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is the evidence of things not seen. And I illustrated that to you by telling you that I had a mid-sermon snack. Oh, listen to that. Are we doing it again? Well, no, for more reasons than one. One is, several of you whined about it. Man alive. They said, next time, give us some substance. They were thinking hamburgers or sandwiches, stuff like that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Good land, Black Welter, I'll tell you what. Whining when I gave him a mid-sermon snack. All right, faith is substance. It's substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, grasp this, because when we go on today, we need the foundation of this definition of faith. And then the second thing I pointed out to you last week was faith declared. And we looked at Romans 4:17 once again. We had studied that two or three weeks ago, Romans 4:17. The story of Abraham, and faith declared where Romans 4:17 says, calling those things that are not as though they are. It's important for us to speak forth faith, calling those things that are not as though they are. And again, grasp these two things so that when we finish this today, that you can connect the dots, and this will, I think, fall into place for you. Calling those things that are not as though they are. So we need to declare some things. We need to declare our faith in God, and we need to declare our faith in Jesus Christ, and we need to declare our faith in God's Word, and we need to declare our faith in our church, all on the basis of what we know from God's Word. And so very important that we learn to speak forth faith, that we learn to declare faith. And I'm going to illustrate that even later this morning as we look at these final two points. So last week we looked at faith defined and faith declared. Now we're getting ready for the third point, which is faith displayed. Faith displayed. But before we look at these two points, let me give you another illustration, because I want us to understand that faith is functional. It needs to be functional. God wants us to function by faith, day in and day out. He wants us to function by faith, moment by moment. He wants us to function by faith with every decision that we make. He wants us to function by faith as we go throughout life. So let me just give you sort of a functional faith training. See what I did there? All right, now here it is. For us to function by faith, we need to understand just the way God wants our life to be lived out day by day. And so this train, and some of you may have already seen this. It's something I stole years and years and years ago, but it's just so practical for us to understand functional faith. And it starts with this train that is just pretend that it's on the track. And the reason I want you to pretend that it's on the track is because God is always on track. All right. God is always on track. And so for us to function day by day in just a logical, obvious way, we do need to understand that God is always on track. There are times that you may have questioned whether or not He is, but He is. God's always on track. And He wants us riding with Him. I don't mind telling you. Now, we have the beginning of this train is a what? It's an engine. It's an engine. And so we need to understand this is what pulls this train. This is the valuable, phenomenally valuable part of this whole train, because this is what pulls this train. If you didn't have this piece right here, then that train would just be sitting on the track. It would be sidetracked. That's it. And so this engine is what pulls this train. What do we have back here? We have the caboose. The caboose isn't pushing the train. And you're going to see that here in just a moment. But the reality is, for some of you, from a Christian standpoint, you're trying to get the train to go with the caboose. That ain't going to happen. That's just not going to happen. And you'll understand that here in just a moment. But this engine is what powers this train. Now, here it is. What do we have here? Facts. Facts. And these facts are the powerhouse for our Christian life. The facts are the powerhouse for our Christian life. Now, where do you get the facts? Come on. Where do you get the facts? You get them from the fact book. You get them from the fact book. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... All right, that's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say that with me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You just memorized a verse. There you go. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the fact book. And this, my friend, is what powers the Christian life. Mark it down. This is what powers the Christian life. You've got to have the facts. You've got to have the facts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't get around it. Now, many times we try to get around it, and many times we try to function without understanding and knowing the facts. And, we'll get ourselves in trouble every time. One way or another, at one time or another, we're going to get ourselves in trouble all the time, every time, if we don't function the Christian life by the fact book. That's the powerhouse. That's the engine of the Christian life. Facts. And where do you get the facts? From the fact book, from the Word of God, from the Bible, from the Word of God. It is so critically important that we understand that. Now, what do we have right behind this engine? I have a coal car. Yep. And that's this, my friend. That's this. All right, now listen very carefully. This is what, if you don't have that, if you don't have that, then this train, even though it's on track, it's not moving. It's on track. It hasn't derailed. It's on track. God hasn't derailed. It's on track. God's on track. But what is it that moves God? Cheap seats, can you see that? All right. Faith is what moves God. Write that down. Faith is what moves God out of heaven into earth. Faith is what moves God into your existence. Faith is what moves God into the circumstances of your life. Faith is. That's not the power. God's the power. God's the engine. And He reveals Himself to us through the facts of His Word. But faith is what moves God, and consequently moves the train down the track. And the reality is, because of a lack of our exercising, we don't have a lack of faith. I've had people say, well, I must not have enough faith. Now, all it takes is just enough, like the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Didn't I read that somewhere? Didn't I get the fact of that somewhere? Go like this, Yes, yes. So it's not the amount of your faith. Don't hide behind that. I've had people say, well, I just must not have had enough faith. No, it's not the amount of your faith, my friend. It's whether or not you're hooking up your faith with the facts of the Word of God. Are you hooking your faith onto the facts of the Word of God? And when you do, when you hook your faith onto the facts of the Word of God, then consequently, what are you going to get out of the Christian life? You're going to get function. You're going to function. You're going to function. And just a reminder, Pastor Scribner is what puts the fun in function. All right? Hey, you didn't pay much to get in here. Don't give me that stuff. Man, I gave people a mid-sermon snack last week, and some people griped. Oh, you guys are a tough crowd. All right, so we want to function in the Christian life. Don't you want your Christianity to be functional? Yes, and God does too. He wants you to be able to function properly. And that's why He's given us the facts. And we need to hook our faith to the facts because that's what moves God. And consequently, that's what makes your Christian life functional. And that's what He wants it to be. And the reality is that it needs to be that way day by day, moment by moment, decision after decision. I wish I could say to you, wow, if you just take this one step of faith, then that's all there is to the Christian life. It's all going to be marvelous and fabulous and wonderful until you walk through the pearly gates. Wouldn't that be a deal? Well, if you really want to get upset over that situation, get mad at Adam and Eve, okay? Hey, they had it set for us. All right. Now, consequently, though, it's not that way. So we need to move throughout the Christian life, moment by moment, day by day, decision after decision, circumstance after circumstance, situation after situation. But we want it to function for us from a standpoint of what God's Word says, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That's what God's designed for us. So how's that going to function for us? How's that going to... God wants the load to be carried down the track in the right way. And He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. And He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings through Christ Jesus. And He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even dream about. God's provided for us, my friend, for us to function properly day by day, moment by moment. Now, when you do that, when that happens, guess what's going to happen here? Well, this is going to follow along. This is going to follow along. And it's going to be what it needs to be. And this we call our caboose, our feelings. Do you have any feelings? See how you answer that. Some wives would be glad to hear some husbands say that. Yeah, I got feelings. Okay. All right, feelings. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. That for a lot of us in our Christian life, we want this to operate the whole train. We want this to be the powerhouse. And so if our feelings are good, man, Christianity's good. What if our feelings are bad? Well, God let me down. God didn't come through for me. God must have messed up. And this gets me. I say to people, how you doing? And they'll say, well, okay, under the circumstances. And I'm thinking, what are you doing under the circumstances? Once you get over the circumstances, once you get on top of the circumstances. I had someone just recently. I said, how you doing? Well, as good as could be expected. And I said, great. Let me tell you about my expectations. Yeah. Because I want my expectations to be based on facts. Now you're going to understand this even better here in just a moment. That's the functional faith training course, folks. Right there. Facts, faith, function, and feelings. It needs to be that way, and it needs to be in that order. Because the facts are going to reveal to us God's word, God's will, God's ways. And we get them from only one book. Only one. And over the years, I've had lots of people say, man, have you read this book? Well, probably not. Could we teach it in Sunday school? It's a great book. No, if it doesn't say Holy Bible on it, that's not what we did in Sunday school. We teach the Bible. I'm not saying we shouldn't teach that book or review it or look at it or discuss it. We have one book that is the foundation of our life. One. The Bible is God's revelation to mankind. I had a couple missionaries in my home not long ago because they knock on doors and they try to get into people's homes, and I invited them in. And I said, tell me what your source book is. And they said, well, we have, and I held up three fingers. I said, yeah, I know. As a matter of fact, I got them downstairs. You would like for me to go get them? You have all three? I said, oh, yeah, but I just read one. Listen, there are no, if you're involved with anyone that attempts to share with you and to tell you that they have a source of truth that is extra biblical, then run. Run. We have one book of truth. And that's God's word. God's word. Facts. So hook your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you do your homework this week? Because the pastor asked you to read the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, every day this week. Did you do your homework? Now, one of the reasons I ask you to do that is because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you read it, The more you read it, the more you hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you read it, the more you hear it. It's in the process of developing your faith. You cannot overdose on it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you hook your faith up to the facts. That's what moves God out of heaven into earth. That's what moves God into the circumstances and the situation of your life so that you can function victoriously. And when you do, no matter what the circumstances might be, my friend, your feelings will follow. Your feelings will tag along. They can't and won't push the train. It just doesn't happen that way. You're going to derail if you try to do that, my friend. It just doesn't happen that way. Feelings is what follows. And too many times, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever awakened in the morning and you thought to yourself, I don't necessarily feel like a Christian today? I have. Yeah. You're saying, Jay, are you shooting straight? Yeah. Yeah. It might have been because of what happened the night before. It might have been the last appointment I had at church the day before. Have there ever been times in your life when you don't feel holy? Have there ever been times in your life when you don't feel like a saint? You ever been times in your life when you don't feel victorious? You see, you can't trust your feelings. We are saints. If you're born again, you are a saint. You are holy. God's made you holy. He's made you righteous. You are a Christian. You've been redeemed. Our feelings will deceive you. And so many times our feelings are compounded by the circumstances. You ever have any adverse circumstances in your life? If you haven't, you must already be dead or something. I mean, yes, we have adverse circumstances. You don't let the circumstances dictate your feelings. You need to go to the facts. Find out the facts. And watch God move His train down the track as you go with Him, as you ride with Him. And He will keep you on track. All right, now, are you thinking that I've never gotten into point number three and we may never eat again? You're thinking, we're having adverse circumstances right now. All right, let me give this to you. I think I can do it quickly. That may be a major miracle. All right, this is faith displayed. All right, and I said to you earlier, God expects us to function by faith on a moment-by-moment daily basis. Say that word, function. Function. Say it. Function. He wants us to function by faith. So, here's my question to you. Do you need substance and evidence in any area of your life? Today, right now, do you need substance and evidence in any area of your life? Substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. Do you need any substance? Do you need any evidence of things not seen? Evidence of things not seen. Do you need substance and evidence? Do you need it in your marriage? You might. There might be somebody here that may say, whoa, man, that hits me just square in the square in the face. I need some substance of things hoped for and some evidence of things not seen in my marriage. I need God to show up. I need God to show up. You need it in your finances? You need it in your family? You got a family circumstance or a family situation that you think, man, I need God to show up. I need God to move into the midst of my finances. You need it in your business? I need God to move out of heaven into earth. Now, what did I just say to you a while ago? What is it that moves God out of heaven into earth? Faith. And you hook that up to the facts. I'm going to show that to you here, this thing you've got on the screen already. I'm going to show that to you. You need it. So my question to you is that hitting you where you happen to live right now? Do you need substance? Do you need evidence? And do you need that in some physical area of your life? Maybe you just came from the doctor this week, and you need God to show up. Do you need that? You have some stronghold in your life? Something that you're battling or you've been battling, some stronghold. Maybe pornography, maybe drugs, maybe alcohol, maybe some kind of addiction. Some stronghold, maybe some sin addiction that just has a grip around your throat. Do you need God to show up in the circumstances of your life? How about some decision you're facing? You say, Jay, this is the biggest decision of my life. Do you need God to show up? How about some material need? Some material need. Well, does God care about material things? God cares about every area of your life, my friend. There's not an area of your life that God doesn't care about. There's not an area of your life that God's not interested in. You say, well, Jay, this is big, though. Well, let me tell you about God. He's big. And you may say, well, actually, it's not big. It's just real small. I don't think God worries about the little things. Well, you're right, half of it. He doesn't worry about anything. But he does care about it. And even if it's a small area of your life, he cares about it. The big areas and the small areas of your life. I'm just asking you, do you need substance and do you need evidence in your life? Now, please, before I go on, I need to tell you, I am not promoting a health and wealth gospel. I'm not promoting that at all. I'm going to illustrate that to you in just a moment. I'm not promoting a name it and claim it deal. I'm not promoting a blab it and grab it. No. I'm not doing that. I am promoting faith and function. You hear what I just said? That is what I'm promoting this morning. I am promoting faith and function. So here are the simple steps right here. Simple steps to display faith. Write those in on your listening sheet. Letter A, assess the need. Then determine God's viewpoint. Put an asterisk next to that. Determine God's viewpoint. What is God's viewpoint? So I'm talking about after you assess the need. Well, we've got a need in our family. We've got a need in our business. We've got a need financially. We've got a need about this sin or this stronghold in our life. I've got a need in this area. I've got a need about a decision I'm making. I've got a need about our marriage situation. I've got a need about our business. So you assess the need, and then you determine God's viewpoint. What does God have to say about that? So you've got to find out the facts. That's why you've got to be in God's Word and let God's Word get into you. If we're going to function by faith, you've got, what does God say about your marriage? What does God say about your husband? What's God say about your wife? What's God say about your son or your daughter? What's God say about your family situation? What does God say about your finances? What's God say about your business? What's God say about your decision that you're facing? So you got to determine that. And the only way you can determine it is to get your nose in God's Word and get God's Word in your heart. That's it. That's the only way you can determine that. You got to hear from God. You got to hear from God. I had someone in my office one time, and he and his wife were thinking about getting a divorce, and he said, you know, I talked to God, and God's okay with me getting a divorce. I said, okay, now let me ask you this, one other question. What God were you talking to? God ain't okay about your divorce. He ain't okay about it. I said, let me show you in God's Word what God thinks of divorce. So let me explain it to you. And I knew the circumstances. I'd married the couple. At the moment, she was one of our secretaries of the church. And I said, then he said this. Well, you know, Jay, I think God wants me happy. I said, no, let me tell you what God wants. He wants you holy, and when you get holy, you'll get happy. Why don't you write that down? That's not a bad thing. God wants you holy. I don't know how many times, I can almost puke. I've heard that so many times. God wants me happy. Well, happy's an inside job, my friend. And so he wants you to start with holy. You get holy, happy will be one of the feelings that follow. So find out what God's viewpoint is about this deal. What's God's viewpoint on that? That's so critical. And then apply faith. Because once, and you may have to call those things that are not as though they are. You may have to speak faith over your marriage, and speak faith over your income, and speak faith over your circumstances, and over your stronghold, and speak faith over your family, and speak faith over the decision. You may have to speak faith, calling those things that are not as though they are. Calling those things that are not as though they are. So you apply faith, and then you acknowledge reality. I'm going to explain that to you in just a moment. Acknowledge reality, and then you confess faith and continue in faith. You confess faith and continue in faith. Those are the steps. Those are the steps for us to function by faith. Now, let me go back just for a moment and talk to you about acknowledge reality. So, let's go back two or three weeks ago, and we talked about Abraham. So... what is reality? What is... Okay, look at me, Abraham. Come on. Everybody act like you're Abraham and look at me because I got something to tell you. All right. What is reality? Stay with me. Is reality that you're 99 years old and God said, you're going to have a baby? Is that, now stay with me. Abraham, are you saying, you check my birth certificate lately? Let me find my cane, and I'm going to get up and go find my birth certificate and show it to you, God. Is reality my wife's 89, and you say we're going to have, I thought that's what you said. Yeah, well, wishful thinking on your part. Actually, wishful thinking on my part. She's 89. And her childbearing schedule doesn't exist. And so you're telling me she's going to give birth is reality. Do you know where the nearest Walmart is for us to get Pampers? And you want me to put Sarah on a camel when she's 9 months pregnant and go to Walmart and get some Pampers? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Sam Walton hasn't even hatched yet. Pampers, what are those? What are those? What's reality? Well, think about that. He was 99, wasn't he? She was 89, wasn't she? Her childbearing cycle no longer existed, did it? There wasn't a Walmart, and they didn't even know how to spell Pampers. No. No. None of that stuff. None of that stuff has anything to do with reality. Say the word reality. None of that stuff. I know he was 99. I know she was 89. I know all that. I know all that. Those are the circumstances. But I'm saying to you, we need to acknowledge reality. You know where you get reality? Uh-huh. That's reality. So, Abraham. Abraham. What is reality? I'm going to have a baby. Hey, Sarah, come here, honey. We're going to have a baby. That is reality. What God says is reality. Say that with me. What God says is reality. That's reality. So we need assess the need, determine God's viewpoint, apply faith, acknowledge reality. Where do you get it? You get it right here, my friend. What God says is reality. What God says, and let's do this. Let's do this. Let's divide the auditorium right here in half. So you guys are over here. You guys are over here. Now, all this half, look over this way, and all this half, look over this way, and we're going to say the same thing, except we're going to say it differently. Over here, we're going to say it with a question mark. We're going to say, God said that? Question mark. Okay? And over here, we're going to say it with an exclamation point. We're going to say, God said that. Okay, so let's practice over here with a question mark. God said that? Okay, and this is with an exclamation point. God said that. Okay, this half, look over here. This half, look over here. And let's address that half, and we're going to say, God said that? All right, and we're going to respond by saying, God said that. All right, that's it. That's it. We need to acknowledge reality. And the fact of the matter is, many of us, most of us, function on this side to where we're questioning God all the time. God said that? Well, read it. Did he or did he not? God, and then we need to come to grips with faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and we need to declare, that's point number two. I think we saw that last week. We need to declare, God said that. God said that. And if God said that, then I want to go with God. I want to believe God. I want to function by faith. So I want to hook my faith up to the facts, and that's how I want to function. And my feelings, they're up and down. They're up and down. I got to remind myself periodically about the facts. And I want to hook my faith up to the facts. And so periodically I need to say to myself, God said that. Everybody following this? What's point number four? What is it? I mean, let's finish this sermon. See, your prayers have been answered. What is it? Faith demonstrated. Faith demonstrated. Heard about a wealthy man that had got most of his wealth by oil wells. And man, one night, he hit a gusher, and overnight, his wealth doubled. And a day or two later, a friend of his heard about the gusher that he'd hit and saw him at the coffee shop and said, "Hey, I understand you've just really, really hit some gushers out on your oil fields." And he said, yeah, God's been good. He said, "Well, how does it feel to be twice as rich today as you were a couple of days ago?" And the guy looked at him and he said, "You know, I really am not twice as rich." He said, "I'll just explain something to you." He said, I never owned any of my oil wells." And the guy looked at him rather shocked and he said, "Then who does?" And he said, "God does." He said, "Years and years ago, I turned everything that I have over to God and just told him that I'd manage his stuff for him. But," he said, I haven't owned anything for a long, long time." And so he said, "Actually, it doesn't feel any different today because I was worth zero a couple days ago and I'm worth zero today because God owns it all." He said, "Now I will ask you to pray for me because I seem to have sort of doubled my responsibility in the last couple of days." That's pretty good perspective, isn't it? And that's faith demonstrated, my friend. Look at that thing on the screen right now. Look at that. Let's read it together. "We are managers of the abundant life we have in Christ." We're just managers of it. We're just managers of the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. And the only way to manage life, my friend, is to function by faith. To function by faith. Now, I don't have time to share one thing that I wanted to share today, so I'll look for an opportunity. Because this was, what was the title of the message? Faith in the what? Future. Faith in the future. I've given you enough to go home with today and to function this week. I'll look for the opportunity to talk about the future of First Baptist Church and also your individual future, because God cares about it. But the way to function properly with it, there's only one way, and that's to function by faith. To function by faith. And that works just like this, my friend. Right here. Okay. Well, that was a long sermon, and you didn't even have a mid-sermon snack today, did you? Well, I hope I've given you some soul food, though, to feed your soul on. And if I've said anything today that you need to grab hold of, it's this. You got to be in the Word. You've got to be in the Word. You can't wait till Sunday and say, "Well, I wonder what Jay's got to say from the Bible." No. You need to wake up Monday morning and say, "I wonder what God has to say from the Bible." And then do the same thing on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You got to be in the Word, my friend, because that is where you get the facts. And that's what pulls the whole train. Then you hook your faith up to the facts. And that moves God out of heaven into the circumstances of your life. But you got to go through those six steps. And especially, don't neglect what reality is. Reality is what God says. That is reality. All right, well, I want to pray with you, and then I would encourage you to come to the altar and just say, like the disciples did to Jesus one time, help my unbelief. And it doesn't mean you don't have faith, and it doesn't mean you're not using faith, it doesn't mean you're not functioning by faith. I can't get enough of functioning by faith, my friend. And God must know that because he puts me in circumstances a lot to have to function by faith. So I'd encourage you to come to the altar and say, God, just help me. Help me to be in your word. Help me to let your word be into me. Help me to hook my faith up to the facts. And for some of you, you may have something real specific. God, what do you have to say about my marriage? What do you have to say about my family? What do you have to say about my son, my daughter, my finance, and my business? What is it? Please show me from your word. What's your viewpoint on that? And then I need your help to hook my faith up to that, to apply it, to apply faith. Which means you may have to call those things or not as though they are. And then start living reality and functioning by faith. Now, if I can help you with anything, if I can pray with you, come on, especially if you're not saved or you need to attach yourself to this church or follow Jesus in believers' baptism, or if I can pray with you about some certain circumstance of your life, then stand ready to do that. All right, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Your word's amazing. It's astounding. I pray that you would help us to become a people of faith, individually and collectively as a church, that you'd help us to be people of faith and to function day by day, moment by moment, in faith, watching you move the train of our Christianity down the track. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.